Tracy Tim in the Votto Gallery is going to be interviewing two sets of people who each run a gallery. We've got Heather Marks and Steve Zapatero, I believe it is.
Yes, exactly. Very well.
From Heather Marks Gallery, and Sue Costable and Kevin Slagle of Eagle Park Gallery. So without further ado, I'll give you that.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
So I thought I would start out with a few questions just about, because from my background, I've worked with my own partner and in the gallery, and I thought I would ask each of you about working as partners in a gallery and some of the pros and cons of working together. Start with the...
Oh, it's all pro. Come on. There's no cons.
Therapy session after.
I guess you could just maybe start by saying, like, for me, I think, how do you delegate responsibilities, maybe, or do you cooperate on everything?
I think the main pro for us is, in a way, efficiency, because we're always together, so we can talk about whatever we want, whenever we want. So we don't have to have meetings, we don't have to send each other emails, we can just make decisions on the fly.
Of course, then there's lots of emails.
We haven't gotten to that point yet.
I ran the place for, 4 years by myself, and the thing about it then was it was just like a sort of a pet project. It was like, I never really took it seriously as a gallery. It was just, I'd open it up when I want to open it up, and then when I didn't, I'd go 6 months at a time and not do shows. And I think one of the coolest things about having a partner in it is that it sort of just makes it real, and you can conceptualize together and plan out together, and then you sort of keep bouncing it back and forth between each other what you're doing. And Sue's just way smarter than I am too, so she's able to just do things that I could never do, like schedule and plan and talk to people and make it real. So
when you guys create like a balance.
Yeah.
Anything you
have to add, Steve? Me first. No, I mean, it's a very easy partnership. I have to agree with Eagle Park over here. It's a lot of you're always together, which is a nice problem to have, because in the past, when you're working in separate careers and working on the clock for other people, we barely saw each other. So I mean, in this case, we have to try to find time to not be together, because the gallery takes up, the gallery takes up every waking moment, and and it takes an incredible amount of work and commitment and love to do it, so it's nice to have a partner that you can trust, and there's no strange, like someone's out, or there's going to be an ego involved, or something like that. So it's a very even sort of a give and take.
And the good thing is that Steve likes to do what I don't like to do, and vice versa. So it's perfect. He's the the web guy, the nerd. I mean, not a nerd. the computer guy, etc. And I don't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah.
And he does all the sort of detail stuff, and I can do the more creative. Well, we're both creative, but just some of the other stuff that doesn't involve computers and website updates and all that kind of PR, all that kind of stuff.
How do you guys, when you're selecting artists or looking over proposals, do you collaboratively come to a decision, or is there sometimes you feel more strongly about an artist than...
We always have a dialogue. I mean, I think I sort of delve first and kind of weed out a little bit, and then Steve and I talk about things. But we certainly have a dialogue, and more as the gallery has evolved over the years, we definitely do that more and more together. I think in the beginning I did it more on my own a little bit, but Steve always had good opinions. There are a few people that I wasn't so sure about, and he said, no, I really feel strongly we should work with them, and we did, and it turned out to be a really good idea that we did, so.
Great.
Thank you.
Anything you guys want to say about the curating process in that?
Um,
both almost always like the same exact thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's easy.
Well, that is good. Okay. Another question I was thinking of, because it is that time of the year where people are applying for grad schools, I was wondering what you all seem to come from, my little bit of research on the internet, come from different backgrounds as far as school, and I know you're creative writing, Kevin, and Sue, you have like video and music experience, and Steve, you have media, computer experience, and then Heather, you're from, you've got an MA curatorial
art history.
In art history?
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, as far as coming into curating, how do you find that, how did you get to that point, curating from these different perspectives?
Let's
start with this.
My thing was always I'd be doing one thing and I'd end up doing another thing because I couldn't do the thing I was doing. So I went to, and I originally was going to be an architect, so I went to school to be an architect, and then I just hated it. I couldn't do it, so I got into reading and drawing and art as a way to sort of do something else. And then I started trying to be a writer and realized I absolutely couldn't do that. It was like the most difficult thing I've ever tried. And art became this way to sort of free myself up from the expectations that I was making for myself with writing. And then as I started doing art, I realized I couldn't do that, and I went back originally to which I could do easily, which was building. So I started building spaces out, and I started this kind of contracting business. And then somehow all of them came back together, and I'd get into these warehouses, and I'd fix them up because I didn't know what else to do when I was in there except like work on the spaces. And so it wasn't really ever trying to design a life that was curating or design a space even that was about a gallery, but it was always just like, I don't know what the hell else to do. So, but then I'd make these great spaces, and then all of a sudden all of these artists would start coming out of the woodwork and wanting to do stuff there. And somehow in the mix of all of that stuff, thinking about art, creating space for art, making art, meeting people around art, this life just sort of emerged, and then it became, thanks, Effie. It just became like this natural sort of extension of a life that didn't really have any continuity in the beginning, but so it just sort of
the,
came.
The gallery sort of chose you.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the second one I've done. I did one back east, and it's still going, and it's a really great community, but yeah. And Sue actually was a mechanical engineer before, or structural engineer, sorry. You should follow up on that.
The art of engineering. How did I get here? It's a really long story, but I'll cut out many chapters. I did get an engineering degree, mainly because I liked architecture, and especially green building, sustainable building, and studied environmental science in college, and then I moved to California because it was like the greenest state in my mind. And so I went through architecture, engineering, eventually all these boring jobs that sounded really interesting at first, and I felt like became data entry no matter how cool it started out. So I decided to try to do the hardest thing I could think of, which was go to Berkeley Engineering for a master's, and it was really hard. And it actually, like, sucked almost every creative idea out of me. And then I got what was supposedly, like, the coolest engineering job with the coolest company, and had a woman boss, and started out really amazing. And then also within, like, 2 years, I felt totally, like, unable to do anything that I really wanted to do. So I slowly convinced them to still pay me. But I somehow started traveling and doing performances, and I joined a band, and just kind of like, but I would come back and work for like 2 weeks as a structural engineer, and then I'd go off somewhere else. And eventually they were like, hey, you know, it's not good for morale in the company that you can like travel the globe and then come back and draft. So I quit that job, and then I had a record label, and I started doing video work and video performance. And actually, I met Kevin because I curated a video show at Ego Park. I think in the list, top 10 list of things that I think I am, I don't know if a curator is on it, but...
It shows you.
Yeah, Yeah. It just kind of is there.
Yeah.
Well, mine is very less exciting. It's very boring and track history. Yes, BA in art history, MA in art history, worked for museums and different galleries in Los Angeles and in San Francisco, and then finally got tired of working hard for someone else's dream, and then felt confident and comfortable enough that it was ready to open my own space. But yeah, definitely not as exciting as these two. always into art since, I don't know, 1985.
Yes, and I just kind of joined up. I was had several careers, broadcasting being one of them, so it's really fun to sort of be on a radio show again. But I had done some high tech and things like that, and when that was, you know, again, long hours and the burnout, it just felt like I'd always wanted to do something that was my own, in a sense. So when Heather was getting ready to open, she was trying to do it by herself and realized that there was no way that could happen. So it was one of those things. It was the summer of 2001, and Heather was about to sign the lease on a space, and basically she said, well, why don't you help me out, and when we get sick of each other, you can leave and find another job. So we just had our 5-year anniversary of the gallery, so I guess we haven't driven each other completely crazy yet. But yeah, it's one of those things. It was a long road. I always appreciated art, but it was one of the things I could never do. And it's just like I have the utmost appreciation for artists because I can't any drawing, any kind of construction, installation. I'm just like, how did they do that? I'm always amazed by it, and that's why it's kind of a fun career to have in that sense.
Well, so, and then on the other end, I guess I would ask, in both of your galleries, I'm wondering, you know, I was looking at a lot of the artists from Heather Marks, and most of the artists have, you know, MFAs or MAs, or at least a BFA, and then I know Marks next, it's like people from school, self-taught, and I'm just kind of wondering what your experiences are with self-taught versus, grad school or art school, I guess, graduates.
Well, that's an interest. I never really thought about that. But I don't look at someone's education necessarily as a qualification. I just look at the work. Mm-hmm. And some of the artists don't have MFAs, and I don't think it really makes a difference as long as your work is good. I mean, I think an MFA, and I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody, but especially the schools. But I think, you know, it's a practical thing. It helps you to get a job down the road if you want to teach. It also provides more studio practice time, and you get more critique. And, I mean, I think it's very good for some artists, but it's certainly, I don't think it makes the work more valuable. Uh-huh. And, in fact, Mike Arcega, William Swanson, they're working and doing really exciting things, and they only have a BFA. Right. It doesn't hold you back, I don't think.
I disagree. I mean, not in the classic sense of I think you really get value out of an MFA necessarily that you can't get self-taught, but one of the things that I'm really starting to see in the art world at large and specifically is how seriously people take themselves, mm-hmm. being sort of the number one criterion for how they go and how they establish worth for their art. Mm-hmm. And I think an MFA is just, even if for no other reason that you've invested that much money into a career in it, it's what might be the kick in the butt to actually think of yourself as a professional artist. And I think that that's really the step in my mind. And I think when people cross that line and say, I am serious about being an artist and I'm going to do this the rest of my life, then it starts to get imbued into their work. And it's not because of the degree, but I do see a lot of people really choosing that route, following through with it, and then becoming sort of what they set out to do.
Right, and I think that's true in a large sense, but I mean, you know, generally, but there are some people that are outside the box.
Oh, absolutely.
Have that huge drive with or without an advanced education and can do amazing things and have structure and value and, you know, show internationally without.
Absolutely.
So it's never black and white.
No, of course.
Well, and along those lines, I would ask, you know, how do you Kevin, how do you feel like, you know, the Bay Area's art schools are kind of keeping up those standards of you know, sending you artists that are, that have the drive and also the quality, you know, more.
I think they're amazing. I think you go to any of the senior shows or grad shows at CCA or Art Institute, and I've been going to them for 5-6 years now, and I think the quality of work is amazing that comes out of there. I mean, I think there's a huge catch 22, a sort of paradox with it too, is that the number of artists getting created every year is so large now compared to 50 years ago. I mean, I think I read a statistic once, like 50 years ago there were maybe 1,000 MFAs given out in that year, and now there's something like 250,000 a year. And you know, so yeah. And I mean, it's sad in one way, and it's awesome and beautiful in another way. But it really throws into that big question of what the hell is art, and what is anybody doing, and what, you know. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm constantly amazed and impressed by what people are creating. And but it's definitely a difficult thing in the art world to have that many people making art, you know. Because how do you pick out the sort of stars that people want? And if everybody can make cool art, what really is cool art? You know?
You guys, Heather Marks, have anything to say about this?
Well, I agree with Kevin. It's the art schools are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and accepting more and more artists. And it doesn't mean that the talent pool is getting diluted, but it is a little scary to think about all these artists that are coming out and want to exhibit and want to have make a living doing their art. And I mean it's hard enough supporting, you know, how many do we have that we work with? 19 artists, and we're just one gallery, and there's only so many galleries that can, you know, keep artists somewhat afloat. And I don't know what's going to happen. You have to have another job.
You guys actually sell art?
Believe it or not.
What's that like?
I'd joke around if I had.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I always wanted to try.
5 artists who come in and want us to look at their portfolios. I wish I had one new client, then everyone would be happy. But it's just really tough, and we're really hesitant to go beyond, you know, the stable of artists we have, because it's we want to give them shows, we want to get them out there, and that takes up a lot of time. And just to have more than that, it just seems like it'd be impossible. I mean, then you're talking about they only get a show every 3 years, and then that's just, you know, that's tough. It's tough to promote their careers when they're not able to keep working towards a show or something you can promise. You know, I mean, we're doing more art fairs now, right. So that's ramping up the you know, sort of the exposure and the work that's being created, and it's giving them a venue to to show.
Right.
But you know, it is pretty amazing. You know, you go to those MFA shows, and it's just like there's tons of people there, and there's tons of really good work. But then you're like, well, then what happens? And then we know we're gonna get the flow of like packages and stuff, and it's difficult.
Yeah. Well, and then I was gonna ask you about the art fairs and sort of. On the international scale, I'm curious about the Bay Area right now and how you think, with your experience in going to the different art fairs, how's the Bay Area holding up internationally?
Oh boy, don't get me started. Do we have till 7:30? No.
Because there's tons of local galleries that are going to art fairs and representing San Francisco, and primarily a lot of San Francisco or Oakland-based artists or Bay Area in general. And it's really exciting now. Mm-hmm. So we're representing.
Yeah. We're getting slowly but surely taken more seriously. I just think, you know, obviously everyone knows the New York, the art world in America is very New York and LA centric. And we're, you know, we're trying to bust through. There's some really great young galleries in town, and we're all, you know, trying to do our best. And if I can do some shameless self-promotion, we're doing the Pulse Art Fair in Miami next month, which is it's the second year of it. It's a really well put together international art fair, and we were just told a couple of weeks ago that one of our artists, a Bay Area artist, David Hubble, who's from Oakland, and you know, he's made this giant installation of a pouncing tiger that's kind of a depiction of Beyoncé Knowles. The committee chose that to be the main installation as you walk into this fair. Yeah. So, you know, we're really proud for David, of course, but we're also, you know, in this sort of international New York sort of world, it's like Bay Area, you know, we're right up front, man, and we're really happy about that.
That's awesome.
And then I know, I mean, you guys just had a show, was it 2 months ago, that was,
What do you think about the West?
What do you think about the West, right? And I was thinking about that and how that is also something that's very important, bringing in international artists, and especially in Oakland, because you really don't see, I don't feel like it's very well represented, a lot of international artists. And so how do you guys feel about how things are going as far as getting national exposure in Oakland?
You should talk, because you're the international artist.
Well, we have another job, so, which is like 80 hours a week. Well, I guess times 260. No. So we've never been to an art fair. Like, the gallery has not. But I've done a ton of traveling, mostly to music festivals in Europe and Canada and a couple in the U.S. when they exist. So I can speak from just meeting other artists, that perspective. I think everyone, Europeans love San Francisco. They only hear amazing things about San Francisco. And in the music world, which I'm more closely attached to, the Bay Area gets a lot of press about experimental music and electronic music and, you know, a little bit of like the rock band thing, but and a lot of new media work, video work, because of all the technology kind of in Silicon Valley. People always think of the Bay Area as this high-tech place. But I don't know. I think international artists also realize that America just doesn't support the arts in the same way their home countries do. So they don't ever expect to have a show in America unless they're super famous. So we invited this one artist that we saw when we were in Berlin, and she, it was actually a really amazing experience. Like, we realized the day before she came that we really didn't know her, and that we had just invited her to live in our gallery for a week, and we were like, okay, but then I picked her up at the airport, and she was just instantly, like, so cool, and we had such a great time with her, and she had a great time. The morning she woke up, she went and took buses all over Oakland, you know, got lost, talked to old ladies, like, so it was really interesting, and I would like to do that more, but it was like, I mean, we didn't get our ducks in a row to get funding for it, so we just kind of paid for it. But it would be nice to have some support to make those things happen, because I think there isn't a lot of exposure for between artists mm-hmm. from different countries, which is always a good influence.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that as well. I'm not going to get heavy on politics, but just from a political perspective, I was just thinking that is a really valid and important thing right now, with so many distinct perspectives of the U.S. that artists do need to have a place in that world as far as accessing other people's views and opinions. And I guess I guess we have 5 minutes left. So in closing, I thought I would ask you, on behalf of some artists that are looking to show in your gallery, what are appropriate ways of approaching or impressive ways of approaching you? Both.
Kickbacks are really good. if you can bring collectors and a list, we'll accept that. Now, our whole thing, and this is probably pretty pathetic, but it's really true, is that anything that takes too much effort, we're probably not going to do it because we're so busy. So when people send us mail and when people start calling us and, you know, it tends to just make us kind of go, but the best way is just when we get an email with some images mm-hmm. and somebody who confidently just like walks up and says, I know I can show that, it'd be really cool. we tend to believe them, and it, we follow the trail, and it goes really smoothly. And it's almost this sort of shameless self-promotion that you were talking about. I think you need to do that. I think you need to see yourself as being a viable artist for the spaces that you're approaching, and, you know, do it with confidence and simplicity, and it's, you know.
But it is also important, I think, that the artist needs to know that their work would fit in the gallery.
Exactly.
95% of the submissions we get, we could never show. It's just not part of what we do. And it's like, I don't get the sense they've been around the gallery or even paying attention to who we are or what we've done. And that's just frustrating. I mean, yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, there's very thoughtfully put together packages, but it's just, you know, stuff that we just don't show. And if they even looked at the website for 2 minutes, they would realize that.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you just feel bad because it's like, okay, well, you know, they spent a lot of time on this and money and all that. We're very good about returning all the submissions, but it's just, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's just,
yeah.
I always liken it to, you know, when you're applying for a job, you wouldn't, first of all, not notice if they're hiring, and then if they're not, you wouldn't walk right up to the president and say, give me a job. I mean, that's, you kind of have to do the research and put together something of a, you know, that fits into the gallery space, and that doesn't happen often.
Right.
I'm always most impressed when people have a vision for how their work, not only that they realize they fit into the type of artist that you're showing, but that they've been to your space and thought about where they would put things, because then you know that installing and everything with that artist is going to be so much easier than someone who's just sends you a slide and hopes that you like it. So like you're saying, think it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For any last comments, do you guys want to say anything about the shows you have up right now or upcoming?
Come to the galleries.
We're showing paintings by a Bay Area artist, Stephen Gianetti. He does color theory paintings, six layers of hand-painted circles. They're very beautiful. It's his third show with us. I also want to thank Zephyr and Tracy and Triple Bass for doing this project. This is really awesome. One of my pet peeves is that there's just not enough dialogue. We have such a great scene here, and it seems like no one knows about it. And it's just things like this that I think are really important. And good on you guys, and I hope you guys do it again soon.
Ditto. We also have a great show coming up Friday, December 1st, as part of the First Fridays in Oakland, the Oakland Art Murmur, and it's the Thin Ice Collective. A few characters in this room might be seen there. They had a very impressive proposal, by the way, so that could be used as an example. It's called Beast Epic, and the opening will be starting at 5 p.m. So come out.